Miss Renzi, your singing career really started when you discovered Italy and Italy discovered you.
Yes, singing career as such, definitely. The preparation for it, of course, was for many, many years before that, because I studied many years in England and I sang in England, first of all, professionally there for quite a good many years. But it is essential for a singer to get the voice actually right and to sing the right repertoire and the right sort of thing. And I must say that it took me many, many years, unfortunately, before I really did that, and only when I went to Italy that things from that point of view, from the vocal point of view, that I got really onto the right lines. And from there onwards, of course, I was able to make what one can call a career, not just sing a little.
What inspired you to go to Italy at that time?
Well, all the years that I spent in England, I always looked for and hoped for to find a really good voice teacher. I studied, of course, very hard, but eventually, just by accident, I came across this old Italian bass singer who used to teach at the Guildhall. And I started studying with him, and I'd studied with him for 6 months, realizing that this at last was the right thing for me, when unfortunately he died. And as he had always spoken about his teacher in Italy, who was so marvelous, and that we should go there in the summer and have a special course in Italian opera, etc., etc., naturally then I thought the only thing to do was to pack up and go to Italy, because I realized that that really was for me the right thing.
And then when you got to Italy?
Oh, when I got to Italy, I didn't speak Italian, and I went to Catania in Sicily, of all places, where this old man then had already retired. And it was a bit difficult at first, but I loved it in the end.
And then how did you get your first big break? I suppose you had to do auditions and so on, as everybody else does.
Oh, yes. One auditions all over the world, all over the place. And, you know, you do dozens of them, and one or two perhaps ever results in anything. Later on, when once you're in, of course, you do not audition anymore, because people know of you, people have heard you actually sing in the theatre, and so on and so on, so that. But to get in wherever you are, in any country in the world, you have to audition. I auditioned a great deal. It's very, very, but very difficult in Italy, and nowadays almost impossible. I was still in an easier stage then, of course, when you still could get for foreigners, for anybody, not only just because I'm South African, but for anybody who is not Italian. It is extremely difficult to get in Italy.
And presumably you've got to have absolutely perfect Italian, quite apart from the voice.
Oh, yes. That goes without saying, of course. Especially when you sing. Because of all the nations, they're all fussy about pronunciation in their own language, but of all of them, the Italians are the most fussy. And Italian, you know, is not all that easy to sing very well. People, it's the ideal language to sing in, but people think, oh, it's very easy, you know, because this and that and the other. But they're very fussy, and it is difficult to sing it really well.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because one has to be so terribly particular about the purity of the vowels. There are double consonants and single consonants, and if you say a double consonant instead of a single one, you alter the meaning of the word. And there are accents, and, you know, it's just not as easy as it looks.
Your highlight, I suppose, was your first appearance at La Scala. How did that come about?
Well, yes, of course it is. It's everybody's dream to sing at La Scala. And it is also, it was for me the passport into what was really an important career, not just, you know, an ordinary singing career, but really getting into the international theatres and so on. When once one has sung at La Scala, you know, you've got that little tag. It's like having a dress from Dior. And it does help enormously with everything. But for me, of course, also auditions. It happened that they were doing Nabucco, and the soprano for Nabucco is a very special role. There are very few, really, in the world who sing it, and who sing it of the standard, shall we say, that is presentable at the Scala. I had sung it at Johannesburg for two seasons running, We had a great success with Nabucco there and so forth. And people knew there, of course, you know, by this time I knew lots of people in the musical world. And also one of the conductors at La Scala knew that I had just returned from singing this. They were looking for somebody, actually, to double the soprano who was down to sing it, because she was known to be rather erratic. And they had to have somebody who they could put on at the last minute, somebody therefore who had already sung the role, because you can't risk putting on somebody at the last moment who has never actually sung the role. So they asked me to come and audition for it. And I sang it, first of all, for some of the directors, the less important ones. They liked me, and so they got the conductor and the more important ones to come and listen to me, and I had to sing it on stage, etc., etc., for them. And so that they took me for that. And it, of course, so worked out that this particular soprano didn't sing all the performances, and I got my chance that way, which was, of course, marvelous. But actually, I must tell you that the first time I sang it, I had 1 hour's notice.
1 hour?
Yes.
But you were a success.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't have stayed there if I wasn't, you see. That's the difficulty of it. One has one's nerves to cope with the fact that this is the chance of your life. And you know, it's awfully important. It may just have been, I was lucky that day, I was really in excellent voice. And it worked very well. I had a great success with the public as well, because you know, the Scala public is a very critical public. However, they do know that if somebody takes over at the last minute, that person has a great deal to cope with, and especially in this particular role. And they were extremely enthusiastic. I was very successful with this performance, and that, of course, led to the fact that I have repeatedly sung at La Scala since. If it had not been successful, I would certainly not have set foot there again.
What is special about singing there? Can you define it?
Oh, it's a wonderful theatre. It is, of course, the aim and the dream of every singer. La Scala and the Metropolitan. Those are the two theatres. But perhaps even more La Scala, because of the, especially, of course, in the Italian repertoire, if you sing Italian opera, La Scala is the place you want to sing. It is a beautiful theatre. It's a big theatre. It has a wonderful orchestra. It has a great tradition. It has the most beautiful costumes and sets, etc., etc., because they never, never save money. You know, they have a lot of money to spend, and it's all beautiful. The organisation is perfect. And then it has the tradition. It has the audience. It has wonderful acoustics. And when you have been successful at La Scala, then, you know, it really is something that means a very great deal.
Now, in between your singing engagements and practicing, what do you do? How do you occupy yourself? You live in Milan, don't you?
I live in Milan. You know, the Italian opera system is not like the German one. You aren't actually attached to any theatre. You guest sing everywhere. Even at La Scala, everybody is engaged for that opera and so many performances a certain period of time in the year or in the season. For the rest, you're free to accept other engagements to go elsewhere. So naturally, sometimes I'm in Milano, sometimes, most of the time I'm not. I've got my bags packed and in some hotel somewhere or other in some other city, either in Italy or wherever I happen to be. Because my singing has taken me from Buenos Aires, Mexico, the United States, Canada, where I went with the Scala to the Montreal Expo. Through the whole of Europe, even places like Las Palmas, Spain, I've sung quite a bit. France, I've sung a lot. Luxembourg, Germany, Austria, as far as Turkey. And they have a very good state opera at Ankara.
And do the audiences appreciate the operas?
Oh, yes, they go regularly. But there, it's full-time. In Turkey, it's full-time opera every night, like in the German theatres.
The travelling is very tiring. I suppose you're quite glad to get back to your flat, is it? And
yes.
Have a chance to relax?
Oh, yes, it's nice to be home. Even though, of course, I don't have a help, you know, I don't have any domestic help. I have to do everything myself. It's not so easy.
Do you have time for any other interests in your life at all, apart from music and all the travelling?
Not really. I read a great deal when I have the time. I like...
In what language do you read?
Well, I read English, Afrikaans, of course, when I, very little though, because I don't, you know, get much, people don't send me much in that line. German and Italian, of course. I read German well. I used to speak it quite fluently when I was in Germany, but I think for so many years now I haven't spoken it, so that it's got a bit rusty. Italian, of course, I'm fluent in because I live there.
And you have to do your own cooking and run the flat yourself then?
Yes, yes.
So it is a busy life.
Oh yes, it's very busy. Occasionally when I have the time I try to do some dressmaking because I like making my own clothes, but of course one needs time for that too. And of course I am interested in the theatre, what all theatre, and when I have the time I go. But you know, a singer's life is very disciplined, especially at the time that you're singing. You can't go out too much, you've got to be careful, you've got to rest enough, especially as European seasons are nearly always in the winter. You really have to coddle yourself, because if you catch a cold, that's it.
Mm. Well, Milan, of course, to most of us is a place we visit when we're in Italy, and we go and see the cathedral, and we go and look at La Scala, probably there isn't a performance on, and we go to, you know, one or two show places there, and that's that. But what's it like to live in, and how did you adapt from South Africa to Italy?
Oh, I had no difficulty whatsoever, because I like the Italians enormously. I find myself very much at home in Italy. I like their way of life. I like their food. I like the people, as I say. I get on with them very well. It was very difficult the very first time when I went to study in Sicily, because the Sicilian mentality is very different from the Milano mentality, you know, north and south, that sort of thing. And it is rather medieval and still very much behind the times, shall we say, in many things. However, they're marvelous people. And once you get to know them, they're wonderful. And I love the Sicilians, really. But that was difficult. But in Milano, there's no difficulty at all. It's a very, very go-ahead, fast, and efficient city. More so than the southern Italian cities, where life is easier, you know, and things are a bit more sort of slow. But in Milano, I like Milano very much. The climate's dreadful, though.